This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys. We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So you're hearing a lot of talk about the Pfizer pill. So we talked about molnupiravir, the Merck pill that's supposed to be getting FDA approval for the early fight and maybe the prevention post-exposure of COVID. But there's also a Pfizer pill. And the Pfizer pill is being touted as being way more effective than the Merck pill. We're being told that the Merck pill has a 30% efficacy at keeping one from being hospitalized or severe disease. Yet Pfizer, we're being told, is up to 70%. So in an analysis of 2,200 adult participants, Pfizer said the results have been consistent with interim analyses that were announced back in November, where their oral antiviral candidate, Paxlovid, had, quote, significantly reduced the risk of hospitalization or death for any cause now by 89% compared to placebo in non-hospitalized high-risk adult patients, meaning those who didn't take it had even more of a chance to end up being hospitalized or severe death. They said in a secondary endpoint, Paxlovid reduced the risk of hospitalization or death for any cause by 88% if taken within the first 5 days of symptom onset. They say that's an increase from the 85% reported internally. We heard there was a 70%. So data keeps going up. Remember, Pfizer did this too with the vaccine. At first they said there was a 90% efficacy with their vaccine. Then Moderna came out saying we're 94.5%. So then the next day Pfizer said, no, we're 95%. So I'm over it. But I like the idea of an antiviral because we use an antiviral with flu, Tamiflu, the neuraminidase inhibitor, which basically prevents replicated viral particles from being able to escape and do what they need to do. So it really interferes with the exponential explosion of viral particles going throughout the body once they're replicated. But this is interesting. Okay. Nirmatrelvir is the name of the drug. And it is a potent inhibitor of the Omicron 3CL protease. This, combined with existing in vitro antiviral and protease inhibition data from other variants, they say, of concern, including Delta, indicates that this Paxlovid will retain robust antiviral activity even against the current variants that are out there. Pfizer has tested the antiviral drug on a synthetic version of a key protein that Omicron uses to reproduce itself. So how do these work? So remember the molnupiravir. It is an antiviral drug. It's a nucleoside analog and a polymerase inhibitor. So what it does is it fools the enzyme responsible for replicating the virus RNA so that it inserts errors or mutations. Then the mutations get replicated, and then the little baby COVIDs are useless. So many mutations that the baby COVIDs don't make it. That's how molnupiravir, the Merck drug, works. But in terms of the Pfizer drug, the Paxlovid, it's a combo drug. It has two components. One is called the PF07321332. The other, an existing drug called ritonavir. Both are protease inhibitors, so they block an enzyme called protease that cuts apart long strands of non-functional viral proteins to make them smaller functional proteins. This PF07321332 apparently is the more important one of the two because it works on the virus itself. The ritonavir provides protection, right? It's like the quarterback versus the, I don't know, offensive line. So ritonavir stops the other enzymes from destroying the PFO7321332. Now, we see ritonavir work in the same way with antiviral drug cocktails that treat HIV. So these have to be taken early within 5 days of symptoms starting. Even though they can be administered at any stage of the infection, you have to, just based on what we're trying to do, take them early so that the virus isn't already in the millions or billions or trillions by the time you try to stop it with the pills. Now, they say, according to NBC News, the clinical trials for both treatments reported no unfavorable side effects that there were any different from those from placebo. The thing is, as we spoke about yesterday, Merck's molnupiravir, they need to kind of investigate if it could cause birth defects. So right now, they're unsure if they're going to even use it in pregnant women. Because again, if you're using something that that will interfere with something's building, genetic material building, they need to make sure that won't interfere with a very dynamic, rapidly growing fetus. But right now they're saying that the drugs are safe in adults. So these, now remdesivir is a medication we're already using. It's a polymerase inhibitor. Works similarly, they say, to pull molnupiravir. And it has been shown to be effective against COVID-19. It's administered by IV. These drugs are going to be pills because the IV drug isn't practical. You have to have somebody insert the IV. Then you have somebody to oversee the infusion. And then, you know, people want to be able to go to the pharmacy, like, you know, Tamiflu and get it. So we'll see where this goes. You know, the Pfizer drug has potential. Again, a lot of concern on, you know, what do we do in terms of you know making sure this can't, you know, have some unintended consequences. Right now, the Merck drug reduced hospitalizations and death by 30%. So if the Pfizer drug is almost triple that in terms of efficacy, then that will probably win, and then Merck is going to be in a lot of trouble. So we'll keep you guys posted on that. 1-877-DR-ELLIE. Don't go away. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing. Then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Folks, it looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar 4 or more times a day and inject insulin 3 or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. That alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
We are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason, who's our producer today. Big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, the Dr. Dolly Show. Okay, so I am a fan of kids not starting school at 5, but maybe starting school 3. I love the idea of teaching kids when they could be taught. I think 3-year-olds can learn how to read. I don't think they have to wait till they're 5 to start kindergarten. And I love the idea of parents taking care of their kids at home. And I think these kids that get to have mom, you know, or dad at home and get to work with them, you know, or whoever's at home, I think they get a lot of love. But I also think that there might be a lot of missed opportunity with learning. So when I heard that one of the things that Build Back Better may have is allow there to be education, you know, pre-K extended, child care help for people that have to struggle in terms of trying to find somebody who could watch their kids. Many times a lot of these people are not trained, I mean, I struggled. I have to work. I got patients. I would just take the baby to work with me. I mean, until I could find somebody to help watch the baby. And so it is something that does need to be addressed. The problem is if we are going to address it, we need to address it right. And we're starting to see some of the cons to the Build Back Better bill and how it might not be actually helping like it promised. So what we're being told right now is the extension of child care, allowing families to be able to have free child care, will basically be based upon their incomes. I believe if they are at 100%, 115%, and 130% of the state median income. So this is for 2022, 23, and 24. So it'll very slowly encompass groups. This does not give child care to middle income families or above. But what we're being told is now the average family that doesn't qualify not only may, again, not qualify for this, but it may actually cost them more for child care, because child care prices are going to skyrocket. So how would that happen? So, you know, pundits are kind of looking at this and they're saying, well, look, okay, first of all, the people providing the child care can't just be non-certified. They have to qualify to be able to take care of your kid. Again, something I agree with, but that now turns around and changes the cost. They also have to be given appropriate wages, quote-unquote living wage provisions. They believe these changes in pay of what they're going to be doing for child care. Now, this is also infant, things like that. That could raise costs 80% for other, or it would be responsible for 80% of the increase in costs. The other thing, too, is there's going to be a cap. So the government is going to have a cap on how much child care is supposed to cost the average family. Well, this is where the Obamacare bill screwed up and caused all these health care prices to rise. Because now if you have a facility that has a very acceptable and comfortable charge, comfortable tuition, and they see that the government says, okay, guys, you can't charge more than this amount, and they are below it, well, then they're going to raise the rates. So if the government chooses this amount, say, look, we don't want people, let's say, to spend more than $30,000, and these people and the schools are only charging $20,000, they're going to raise the rates, so then they're still in compliance. They go, you mean we could be making another $10,000? Not to mention with the subsidies. So this starts to now make it look like, okay, wait a second, this might follow the same thing as Obamacare did, where all of a sudden all these costs went up, some got help, some, and we want people that are underserved to get help, but again, how much more can middle-income families pay? And with inflation and everything else going on, something's going to break. So according to Casey Mulligan, economics professor at the University of Chicago, he says the new program is going to act like a $20,000 to $30,000 annual tax on middle-income families. If you remove financial incentives to offer low-cost care, the cost of daycare for middle-income families are going to surge 102 to 122%. They said a family with an infant and a four-year-old could see an extra $27,000 for their care, unless, of course, they qualify for the low-income subsidies. The other thing, too, is these subsidies stop. After all, I think the policy will expire by 2027. So depending on who's in office, who's going to be able to extend the funding? So what happens then? Then there's going to be this big push that, well, we need to keep these kids. And that once you start paying for something, you really can't take it back. And so if it's a bad move, what are we doing in terms of committing us to this? They say elementary school teachers earn on average $63,930. Now, this is according to Daily Mail and the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Child care workers earn only $25,500. So obviously they're underpaid compared to elementary school teachers. So even though I would love there to be elementary school teachers teaching these kids at 3 and 4 years old, they got to be qualified. And which means these then daycare centers are going to have to then hire somebody. Well, if they're going to have an increase in salary, somebody has to pay for it. So, you know, there could be a great idea, but when you start to look at the practicalities of it, it gets a little bit then sticky. They say if a family earns less than 75% of their state's median income, the child care bill will be completely covered by taxpayers. If a family makes 100%, their child care costs are capped at 2% of income. For families making $125,000, costs are capped at 4% of income. For those making $150,000, costs will be capped at 7%. So then the sliding scale that might then end up happening, that might then, like I say, if they've been paying less, now they're paying more. You know, it's interesting. I told you guys what happened when I had opened up my practice. I had used charges very similar to my residency. I didn't know every single charge, but I was like, look, I pay maybe $2-3 for the urine test. I don't have to charge, I'll put $10 there in terms of the charge to insurance. Okay? Because you have the test, you have the shipping, you have the nurse, you have the staff, you have the liability, all right? You can make a little profit. Well, insurance paid me $10 every time. Every time. And so I was talking to the biller. I go, well, this is interesting. Why is the urinalysis paying me at 100%? These insurances pay me at 100%, but they hardly pay me for the office visit or anything else. And the biller says, because you're undercharging. I go, I'm undercharging? She goes, yeah. Insurance will pay 12 to 15. You're only charging 10. So they're only going to give you 10. Even though the maximum is like $12.50. Well, I'm like, so what do I do? She goes, raise it to $15. This way, you'll get the $12.50. And I'm looking at that going, okay, well, it's good I noticed it because otherwise I would have never known. I mean, everybody else is getting this money that I'm not. But I'm also thinking that's crappy. That is really crappy because what that means is doctors instead are going to be taking they're going to look at what they get and then they're going to change the price to that so they always make sure they're not under asking. Well, that's one of the reasons why we have high healthcare costs. So then somebody without insurance comes in, you know, $15 for a urinalysis. So, but then again, one of the reasons why that happens is, remember I told you, Medicare paid us like 14 cents, 12 to 14 cents for a flu shot. Our flu shots cost more than that. But according to Medicare, that's all you get. So what ends up happening is you get underpaid on the doctor visit, you get underpaid for some services, but you might get paid well on the others. So that ends up balancing it. But that's a crappy, crappy system. So, personally, like I said, I would love to see 3 and 4 year olds start getting education. I would also love to see better ways to manage daycare because I'm seeing people use next door neighbors, use people completely unqualified who aren't even paying attention, watch their kid. We really do. If we are worried about national security, if we're worried about our kids' health and our kids' education, we really need to, work on that early on. But that alone can be extremely expensive. And so I think people need to think this through before they enact it so they enact it properly. 1-877-DOCTELLY.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Labor Department says the producer price index, which is a key indicator of inflation, rose 0.8% last month. Democrats are still hoping to pass the $1.7 trillion Build Back Better Act. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says their meetings with the Senate parliamentarian will continue this week to help work out the details regarding the president's bill.
I thank my colleagues, the parliamentarian, and her team for working through this important and difficult process. The president will also continue to have his conversations with our caucus as we hash out the final details of the legislation.
The New York Democrat hoping that the reconciliation process will allow them to pass a measure with the simple majority vote instead of the 60 votes usually needed. USA Radio News. A dire and gruesome report is out on Afghanistan from the UN Deputy High Commissioner for Human Rights. Nadia Al-Nashif says so many Afghans are starving and they're going to extremes in order to get food.
People in vulnerable situations, notably women-headed households and children, are being pushed to take desperate measures, including child labor, the marriage of children to ensure their survival, and according to some reports, even the sale of children.
And Afghan's envoy from the former government is accusing the Taliban of committing human rights abuses like targeted killings and enforced disappearances since they've seized control in August. The NFL is mandating coronavirus booster shots for team staff members who work closely with players. More COVID cases have been reported this season than last year, despite the vaccination rate of players being over 94%. This is USA Radio News.
Extend your life.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So I grew up in the 80s, and so we had Coca-Cola, we had Pepsi. What was the song? It was a, so you had the Pepsi Challenge, you had the, you know, the sun will always shine, the birds always sing, and there was like Coca-Cola. Oh wait, well the Coca-Cola song when I was really young was I'd like to teach the world to sing. So Coca-Cola had some of the best commercials. Until Pepsi had the Michael Jackson commercial, and then the Michael Jackson, you remember, he got his hair on fire. We're like, what did you do to Michael Jackson? No! Pepsi is, I think they kind of did like a Billie Jean with the Pepsi song, and anyway. And then I really liked the Shasta commercial. Don't give me that so-so soda, the same old cola, I want a rock and roller. Anyway, so anything that had to do with a good jingle, I would sing it. And then you would start seeing these beautiful models and supermodels drinking a Tab or a Pepsi Free. So I'm like, Mom, I need that. And my mom's like, what are you talking about? You know, because my dad, you know, he liked a little bit of Coca-Cola or Pepsi or RC. They really liked RC. I liked RC. RC tasted good. But we didn't want the sugar. We couldn't drink that much sugar. Also, I remember it was getting expensive. I remember my father bought a six-pack. I had come home from school, and I had taken a whole can and drank it. And he's like, what are you doing? Why didn't you just open it and just take part of it? You know, these are expensive. So, I mean, you know, we had some poor days. And you know, I drank a whole can of Coke. And that, he didn't yell at me. One of the very few days he didn't yell at me. But that was like a no-no. So I was allowed to take some and put it in the fridge or split it. But I couldn't drink a whole 12-ounce can. Which was probably good because the sugar was bad for you. But Pepsi-free and Diet Pepsi and all sorts of that has started to change. And when you go to the store, and mind you, the shelves are still pretty scarce. I took my boys clothes shopping the other day. And, you know, the kids are like, wow, look at the shelves. I mean, there's not a lot of supply. We really have still supply shortages. But you're not going to see a lot of diet soda on the shelves because you're going to see it renamed Zero Sugar. So there's Pepsi Zero Sugar, Cherry Pepsi Zero Sugar, Coke Zero. Now, CNN is saying this is because of the Gen Zs. The Gen Zs do not like the term diet. I thought it would be all the generations. But they say Zero Sugar has replaced diet for many no-calorie soft drinks. Canada Dry, Schweppes, Ginger Ale, 7-Up, A&W, Sunkist, Dr. Pepper. They now label their drinks Zero Sugar. Although there is still Diet Dr. Pepper, and I cannot stand the taste. I don't understand why I never really liked Dr. Pepper. A&W Root Beer's got that frosty taste. Remember, you'd have to hold the A&W really uncomfortably where your pinky hurts. But, I don't know, I'm not a Dr. Pepper fan. Won't you like to be a pepper too? They did have a good song. They did. But according to CNN, the reason for the overhaul is the word diet has fallen out of fashion. The Gen Zers don't like it. Even the millennials don't like diet. According to Greg Lyons, chief marketing officer, younger people do not like the word diet. During the Beverage Digest Future Smarts Conference in December, Pepsi rebranded Pepsi Max as Pepsi Zero Sugar. And they say no Gen Zs wants to be on a diet. In fact, that's interesting. I remember when I was in medical school, they taught us, don't tell people to go on a diet. Tell people to have a food plan, a meal plan, a diet, and they were right about this. A diet, when you're on a diet, that kind of connotes a very temporary change in your eating habits. Yet if you're going to be cutting your carbs, if you're going to be cutting your sugars, that needs to kind of be a forever thing. If you're going to introduce more vegetables, more fish into your diet, into your meal plan. See, diet was never supposed to be a temporary thing. I'm on a diet. We use that in the 80s all the time. Your diet is your eating plan, your meal plan. But that isn't the way it went. It's like, oh, I'm on a diet. Oh, what kind of diet are you on? Oh, I'm on the grapefruit diet. You're on that diet? Oh, I'm on the intermittent fasting diet. Oh, no way. Now, it's your meal plan. It's the way you eat. So diet is starting to be a taboo word, and we're just not using it. We were told to stop using it in medicine. Now it's not being used by millennials and Gen Zs. So they say that diet soda sales are up about 19.5% from 2018 compared to just 8.4% for regular soda. And it's a lot of people are freaked out about the obesity, about the sugar, the corn syrup. But interesting, everybody goes, well, diet drinks came out in the 80s. They didn't. Diet drinks, I think, were first patented or started in the late 50s, early 60s, because there were people with diabetes, and these companies wanted to still have that share of the market. You also had people concerned about weight. And so even though they used real sugar at the time, they tried to use then less sugar. Apparently, Diet Right was the first, according to CNN, no-calorie drink from the soda maker Royal Crown Cola. RC. It was launched in 1958 as an option for diabetics and other consumers who needed to limit their sugar intake. This is according to Emily Contois, author of Diners, Dudes, and Diets. They also bring that up on the Food That Built America. And so they say it was stocked among medicines rather than soft drinks, but then focus soon shifted to the growing number of weight loss dieters nationwide. Diet Right was a hit. Coca-Cola introduced Tab in 1963. Pepsi began in 1964 selling Diet Pepsi. So for those of you playing Trivial Pursuit, it was the 1960s when Coke, and it wasn't Diet Coke, it was Tab. I thought Tab was the 1980s with the pink can and all that. I love Tab. So then Coca-Cola launched Diet Coke in 1982. So these brands, it was all about money. It was all about expanding your market share. And so, you know, they did consider using sugar-free, but the problem with that, and this is very interesting from a marketing standpoint, is the companies didn't want to say sugar-free because they thought it would tarnish. They didn't want to take away from their other brands. Because if something's like, let's say, like, you know, like parabens free or BPA free, you're like, oh, well then I don't want any product that has BPA. They didn't want that to happen with Coca-Cola. So they were like, look, if we say sugar free, then people are going to be like, well, wait a second, then why am I drinking Coca-Cola? So what they did is they said, look, for those of you on a diet, this is your brand. I love marketing. That's where I would have been if I, you know, wasn't in medical school, because I just think it's amazing. So the company went with Diet because it was the most straightforward articulation of the promise of the Zero brand. A few decades later, Coca-Cola returned to the idea of a sugar-free branded product, and then it's because young consumers and men wanted sugar-free. Then Coca-Cola Zero came out, I think in 2005, and they wanted to get rid of Diet because they said it was a gender-free way to talk about the same topic. So I don't know if you remember, but men didn't necessarily go on a diet. It was a woman thing. So if you had something and you had the term diet, it was gender-specific. Well, apparently the company didn't want to do that, not because they were trying to be woke, but again, it was about we want to increase the market share. We want to have a bigger audience. So men don't want sugar also, so that's where Coke Zero came. And in fact, even though they still had Diet Coke, people thought that the taste was different, and I think there was a different formulation and whatever. So it's really interesting how things are going. And so, you know, I don't know, if you do have a Diet Coke can, maybe save it, because that sucker you might be able to sell at Pawn Stars later. But, you know, we're seeing products evolve. We're seeing our vernacular evolve. We're seeing our approach to things evolve. And I was told years ago, never use the term diet. You need to go on a diet. And I get that because, you know, we're supposed to, with people, say, look, we need to lose weight. You need to get your sugar intake down. And the reason why is, you know, same thing with kids. You know, I learned this also in the 90s and 2000s. If your kids do something bad, don't go bad boy. Don't say bad boy. That's too generalized. Tell them specifically, don't touch, you know, mama's knife when she's trying to eat her steak. You know, don't touch the stove. So that's what we do in medicine. We're like, you need to lower your sugar, you need to lower your fat. We give specifics rather than saying go on a diet. 1-877-DOCTOLLY.
Heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey, guys. Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI. 1-877-DOCDALI. So a very common question I've been getting that I can't always answer, and I'm honest about that, is people ask, how did the FDA approve the COVID-19 vaccine so quickly? How did the emergency authorization come out so quickly? And how come we went from an emergency, a newly developed vaccine, to it being emergency authorized, to it being mandated, to people losing their jobs over it? I believe now in the military, people are already getting discharged because they're not being vaccinated. And I can't answer that. I know sometimes the FDA takes years, but sometimes it takes days. I can't answer it. Well, but people want an answer. I don't blame them for wanting an answer. Especially since, this is why, again, that once you go mandate, you're opening up a whole can of worms, because now you're forcing people to make a choice or almost blackmailing them into getting it. Everybody says no, no, because you could quit the job and go to another job. Not when Biden has it mass industry. So you can't just leave one place and go to another, you know, competitor, because they're going to want it too. So a group, a nonprofit group, is now taking the FDA to court. And they're arguing that the FDA should release all documents tied to the approval of the Pfizer's BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine. Now, the plaintiffs claim said this could take decades to produce, and it shouldn't. Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency sued the FDA under a Freedom of Information Act, and they're asking for more than 400,000 additional pages about the approval process. This has been reported by Reuters. The FDA has offered to release 12,000 of those 400,000 pages by the end of January. And then they will each month release a minimum of 500 pages going forward. Now, the group did the calculation and said, wait a second. By the time we see every page, it'll be 2,097. Most of us dead by then. Not of COVID, but as of old age. So they went to court and said, no, if you approve the drug in 108 days, you have 108 days to show us the papers. Just why aren't they being uploaded today? The plaintiffs in the case want it all within 108 days, symbolic because that's how long it took the agency to approve the vaccine, according to the report. Aaron Siri, the lawyer representing the plaintiffs, posted on his Substack, I guess we have Substack now, that it is dystopian for the government to give Pfizer billions, mandate Americans to take its product, prohibit Americans from suing from harm, but yet refuse to let Americans see the data underlying its licensure. According to Fox News, public health officials have consistently said that the vaccines are available and safe and effective. Both Republicans and Democrats are, you know, don't want to be looking anti-vaccine, and they're like, look, guys, we think it's safe. I got the vaccine. I feel safe, but I just don't think we're in any position to threaten people and to force it in a mandate. I, by choice, got the vaccine. It should be a choice, especially since it's early on in its authorization process. So Johns Hopkins University said the full approval is granted when the agency amasses even more scientific evidence to support, which happened after the emergency authorization. Then they went to full authorization. So the U.S. has given out 484 million doses from the vaccines. 60.8% of the population has been fully vaccinated. But the website for the plaintiffs identifies the group as a nonprofit comprised of professionals within medical and health fields. The group claims they take no position on the data. They are not anti-vax. They just want the data to be made publicly available. Now, I mean, obviously, they aren't happy about the mandates either. But just like me, I'm not happy about the mandates, but I'm not anti-vax. I think vaccines are a fantastic adjunct to our approach to public health. I just don't think they need to be mandated. People need to be losing their jobs. And so it is kind of concerning that we do have the millions of dollars or billions spent. We have the mandates. We have Americans threatened to lose their job. We're already having military kicked out. So then, can we see what the FDA looked at? No. By the time we release it, at 500 pages a month, by 2097, we'll have everything. That does seem odd. Now, is it because the FDA is in the middle of this pandemic, doesn't want the firestorm or the poop storm, doesn't want anybody misinterpreting anything and them having all these issues? But again, where the nonprofit has a point is you went to the mandate. You went there. All right. If you approve something like Viagra, Viagra's out there. Yes, there might be some side effects. PPIs for acid reflux, there might be some side effects. But there's a choice. You FDA approved it. You have some warnings. But not everybody has to take a Viagra, or they have to take a omeprazole. They don't, you know, it's by choice. Once the government went to mandate, and they still are, in fact, we're hearing Kroger is going to charge extra people who are unvaccinated, extra surcharge for their health insurance. I don't know if their health insurance is costing more or not, but we'll have to look into that. So somebody being unvaccinated is discriminated against. They're kicked out of a restaurant. They can't go to a game. They can't go to school. They have to do it from home. They got a point. Can the public look and see what the FDA approved last year? It's been about a year. Just put it out there. You don't really need to edit. Those should be signed, sealed, and delivered. It should be in a file somewhere. Still, the agency's like, look, we'll give you 180 days. If you really need all that time to hit, you know, upload, to put it out there, 180 days. Because that's how long it took you to approve the drug. It's not anti-vax. I think it might actually help even some of the hesitancy. Because right now people are looking at it. Some of the hesitants are like, wait a second here. You got a company that we've been told, you know, and we've been told pharmaceutical companies for years by politicians, such as Bernie Sanders, that they're evil, they're crooks. And now you're giving them a whole bunch of money. Everybody's getting a vaccine, and now they're forced to get the vaccine. And you're firing people. Would like to know why. What is so amazing about the data, especially since vaccinated people can still carry it and still end up in the hospital? I think people do have a right to look at it. It's a government agency. We have a right to look at it. I agree with that. So the court hearing is occurring right now in Fort Worth, Texas, in front of the U.S. District Judge Mark Pittman. Pittman is a Trump appointee. The FDA asked the court for 55 years to complete their request. Reuters reported that the plaintiffs say the time frame is more likely going to be 76 years. Why does the FDA need 55 years? Why? It's just odd. You know, and look, I'm no conspiracy theorist. We don't have to be, you know, trying to make something bigger than it is. But then when these things happen, you're like, okay, this is looking kind of guilty. Just like Brian Laundrie. You know, when his girlfriend didn't come home, he should have gone to police and said, how can I help? Instead, he flees. Well, then that's going to look suspicious. If the FDA is saying we cannot upload the documents that are already signed and sealed for 55 years, why? Is your broadband slow? Is there something wrong with your, I forget what the speed is. Your RAM? What is that? They say an official from the FDA said the documents, the agency needs to conduct a line-by-line, word-by-word review before producing the documents, and said it takes about 8 minutes to properly review each page. Why do they have to review it? If everything was on the up and up, who cares? We don't care if there's a typo. Does anybody care if there's a typo? I don't care. Go ahead and upload it. You don't have to proofread. Just put it up there. But they want to do a line-by-line review. Now, mind you, on the flip side, they do have a constitutional right, just in case something incriminates them. I mean, I know they do not have a... Nobody is allowed to tamper with evidence, but, you know, they are allowed to if they are going to submit something legally, just like a contract or whatever. You do have a right to proofread it. But 55 years? How much proofreading are you guys expecting to need to do? It's just odd. So, again, doesn't mean anybody's anti-vaccine, but once you go to the mandate, once you go there, people have a right to take a look and go, hey, can I just see why this got approval so quickly when other things didn't? Because I'm losing my job over this. My child, my six-month-old, right, is going to probably be the brunt of a vaccine mandate because they're studying it now and they're going to probably do the same thing to these young kids. I'd like to know why my six-month-old is about to be injected with something. Can I at least look at the data?
They help me.
Totally fair.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.